We said Mary's going to be speaking on step 11, which is sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him. Praying only for His knowledge, for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. So, Mary, I invite you up here.
Hi, Zoomers. I'm an alcoholic, and my name is Mary.
Hi, Mary.
And my sobriety date is January 2nd, 1997, and my home group is the lovely ladies of... Friday night, 7:30, 10th and Powell. So, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understand Him. Praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Do we have that now? It's the third time we've heard it tonight. So our spiritual virtue is no surprise with this particular step. It is spirituality. And in this step, as we refer to prayer and meditation, we acknowledge that they're subtly different. Prayer is known as what we do outwardly. Meditation is reflection within. To pray is to seek. To meditate is to accept. And both embrace silence, spirituality, and solitude. Both focus on calming the mind and letting go of negative thoughts. Both encourage concentration on self and endeavor to ignore outer surroundings. And both help to attain a stable connection with self and the God of our understanding. What the 11th step can mean is when you deepen your connection to God by whatever means works for you using prayer and meditation, you will be given the strength you need for recovery for your entire life. The practice of step 11 is a deeply personal matter that is between you and your higher power. But for it to be most effective, it needs to be practiced and prioritized in your life. In a way, step 11 is the final step. If you're looking at this process from the standpoint of internal growth, maturing from the inside out. And if you approach step 11 as a lifelong relationship, other than doing it because it's part of this process or doing it because you need to check it off a list, your mind and your heart will be changed in ways that you can not even imagine. Conscious contact is the real-time relationship that I've cultivated with my higher power. And working the steps, I have moved from feeling alone and trapped in myself, whether I'm with a person or a whole group of people. And when I was trying to escape from my addiction, to the spiritual being that I am today and that I know that my higher power wants me to be. These maintenance steps, you don't complete them as much as you begin living them every day. When you have the inner strength to accept that you are not the most important thing in your life, and you put a trust in a higher power, you're able to stand back and see a bigger picture. Then it helps to understand the importance of your goal of trusting in that higher power. With an ingrained humility which acknowledges how we used to get just wrapped up in the old behaviors of blame and excuses and pity parties of ourselves. That was a savage way to live. Step 11 lets us know that whether we're aware of it or not, we have already begun to grow spiritually. We've already started doing what step 11 has asked us to do, and that is to be aware of our thoughts, our words, and our actions, and to stop reacting to life on autopilot and trying to learn what the right path is and then taking that path. That is recovery. Truly, we've been working on developing the how-to of this process, literally step by step, each week. Remember last week when we fully admitted that we are never cured of the disease of alcoholism? What we really have is only a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. And every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all our activities. Sounds like a great quote, doesn't it? Ooh. This step, in conjunction with all those previous ones, offer a variety of ways to continue to enrich this spiritual condition, connection. This daily practice of prayer and meditation, it helps to protect us from our isms and offers freedom from the bondage of self. All of our work on the previous 10th steps has helped us to build this solid frame of coping with life and has helped us to stay sober one day at a time, in addition, though, to encouraging us to seek for new information about ourselves and about our peoples and the world outside of us. This open-mindedness is one of the greatest things that we can work for and with. We have an unlimited choice of spiritual beliefs and actions in cooperation with our higher power as we understand him. In step 11, the task is finding ways to improve our conscious contact and connection with the God of our understanding. Well, in step 2, we developed our conscious awareness of that higher power that works in our life. What's amazing is then in step 3, we turned our will over to that power greater than ourselves. And here, tonight, we stand at step 11, where God's offering our will back to us because we've experienced a spiritual awakening. And we're now fully relying on the strength and the safety of the power that we get from that relationship. In this way, steps 3 and 11 are considered the pillars of the 12 steps. Yes, our lives are different as a result of this process. Anyone who can begin to use step 11, just to begin to use it effectively, has already had a spiritual awakening. As the big book tells us, they have tapped that inner, unsuspected inner resource of strength. This is the proof that the steps have transformed us. Step 11, well, it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of work to get through the first 10 steps to where we are, and then it takes continuous practice over a long time to fine-tune our own personal study of adapting prayer and meditation to our lives. I know for myself, concerning this step, I'm a constant work in progress, and every day I reap the incredible benefits of surrendering my will and my life over to the higher power. And it is very well worth the sacrifice. Again, I know I'm absolutely human and that it's progress, not perfection, in working any of these steps. There are days I can't keep my head straight on for the time that I sit in prayer and meditation. This process of this connection with our higher power is very different for everyone. So there is no right or wrong way. Just as there's no right or wrong way to have or to make our spiritual contact. However, a central part of working step 11 is not allowing our own personal spiritual path to take us away from the fellowship or the practice of this program. We need these rooms of AA in order to grow in our recovery. our path of meditation and prayer will enhance the quality of our recovery, and nothing can take the place of AA meetings and service, because nothing is quite as special as a moment we walk into a room and get to shake the hand of a newcomer, because we know how they're feeling. We know from inside of ourselves the pain that we see and that we know, and that we know in our hearts that if they stay long enough, they'll be relieved from. Bill W. reminds us, in AA, we have found that the actual good results of prayer are beyond question. They are matters of knowledge and experience. All those who have persisted have found strength not ordinarily their own. They have found wisdom beyond the usual capability, and they have increasingly found a peace of mind which can stand firm in the face of difficult situations. There are these simple suggestions on how to think about step 11. One, prayer is talking to God. Meditation is listening to God's reply. Or, even simpler, if you can think, you can meditate. If you can speak, you can pray. As alcoholics, we always seem to overthink and make ideas more complicated than's necessary. We've heard it before, AA is a simple program for complex people. Improving conscious contact means building a relationship with our higher power. And in order to build any relationship, there needs to be a dialogue and not merely a monologue in one direction. Understanding the difference between prayer and meditation is also a matter of our intent. Are we paying attention to our thoughts, or are we communicating them? When we pay attention to our thoughts and feelings, we're meditating. When we have thoughts and feelings with the intent of communicating them, we are praying. In practice, prayer and meditation may not be separate activities. The goal is continuous advancement towards spiritual improvement. And it can be a challenge to measure that improvement, but an excellent way to do so is through journaling. Journaling in itself is also a form of meditation. You're able to express your thoughts and struggles with honesty and sincerity. It can be like a written record of the challenges and the hurdles and the life that you've come through and learned from. For me, a gratitude list is indispensable. I affect my gratitude list very often during the week, as it's another form of meditation for me. And I add at least, my commitment is 3 or more items. And there's days that I'm surprised. I can sit down and not be feeling very great about it, and I pour out half a page, sometimes a page of things, and what a turnaround that creates in my whole frame of mind. Step 11 is no quick fix. In the quiet of your mind, it really is a blending of steps 2 and 3, practiced on a daily basis. We suffer from a spiritual disease, and we want to consistently be sacrificing our self-will, which before had run our lives, and we have to turn our attentions to our higher power and away from ourselves, from self-centeredness to other-centeredness. We have become open-minded and willing through the process of these steps as we've trudged through and finally on to step 11 that calls for faith and persistence. Also, those are other words that we have described, other work that we've done in the prior steps. Meditating is a special time for us to become centered and more at peace. That's what we're choosing when we sit down to be quiet, is peace. We can feel very blessed and in comfort knowing that we're loved and that we're cared for by our higher power. Meditation is also known as directed thinking, and where we practice listening to that wee small voice that's down deep inside of ourselves. Some of my best ideas come from when I'm quiet and listen to the voice within. Of course, my husband would rarely admit to that. Now, if you've also been taught by conventional religion how to pray, rote prayers, they work also. If they work for you, that is wonderful. Whatever way we get out of here and are able to focus on our higher power, on letting go, we're usually always much more intimidated by the idea of meditation, like we have to visualize that we're a Buddha up on a mountaintop, and to be by myself, it's the only way I can do it. I have to go somewhere. I remember wanting to escape when my addiction was in full bloom, and I went to a therapist, and I said, I just have to get away. I just have to go somewhere. And I remember him saying, and then what happens when you come back? That I hadn't finished my thought on. The rule of thumb for meditation: if you want to practice meditation, you must begin practicing. It's that easy. It's that easy, but it takes discipline and commitment. A practice that's worked for me is the taking of the Serenity Prayer word by word. God, grant me the serenity. By the time I get to serenity, I can already feel my shoulders drop. Remember, there's only two mistakes you can make in meditation, and that's not showing up and leaving early. It kind of sounds like the rules that we have for coming into the rooms, isn't it? Start by committing. A thought might be that you might start to commit to meditation by practicing just 1 minute a day. Take the challenge. 1 minute a day for 30 days. If you miss a day, you start the count over. But if you are able to commit to this small practice, you have begun a practice and a journey that will enhance every single area of your life. There's actually scientific information out there that says to meditate and to pray can actually physically change the brain. I love that idea. My brain always needs fixing. Another prayer to work with is the prayer of St. Francis, which is known as the 11th step prayer. In the 12 and 12 we read, as beginners in meditation, we might now reread this prayer several times, very slowly, savoring every word and trying to take in the deep meaning of each phrase and idea. It will help if we can drop all resistance, for in meditation, debate has no place. No matter who or what we've decided that we want our higher power to be, this prayer suggests that we want to know how we can be of better service to all the people in our life. Prayer is just a request for assistance, for helping to know what the solution to a problem might be, or what is the best course of action for me to take. In the 12 and 12, we read, prayer is the raising of the heart and mind to God. And in this sense, it includes meditation. Prayer recognizes our need for a power greater than ourselves. Prayer is an intimate conversation within our consciousness, and it must be done with positive intention. Prayer does not change God or reality. It changes the prayer, the person who prays. Like in the big book, in the story, Freedom from Bondage. If you have a resentment, you want to be free of or free of, if you will pray for the person or the thing that you resent, you will be free. If you ask in prayer for everything you want for yourself to be given to them, you will be free. Ask for their help, their prosperity, their happiness, and you will be free. Even when you don't really want it for them, and your prayers are only words, and you don't mean it, go ahead and do it anyway. Do it every day for 2 weeks, and you will find that you have come to mean it and to want it for them, and you will realize that where you used to feel bitterness and resentment and hatred, you now feel compassionate understanding and love. In the big book, it's advocated, when we retire at night, we constructively review our day. Were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Do we owe an apology? Have we kept something to ourselves which should be discussed with another person? Were we kind and loving to all? What could we have done better? Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time, or were we thinking of what we could do for others? Wow, talk about other-centeredness. And in the morning, the big book provides us with continuing directions on conducting a daily quiet time or a two-way prayer. That two-way prayer was a practice originating with the Oxford group, and that has absolutely been present all the way through all these steps. On awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. So what can we expect from prayer and meditation? As this step further states, we're praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the knowledge of the power to carry it out. I remember when I first did all these steps by doing it with the Joe McHugh book, I was puzzled, you know, I got to do this right. And I went to my sponsor and I said, I'm really struggling with step 11. I just don't seem to be able to start a practice and to be able to feel connected. And she listened compassionately and then she said, so what does that step really say? Praying only for that knowledge of His will for us, and praying only for the knowledge of the power to carry that out. Oh my gosh, could it really be that simple? I felt dumb, but it tells us exactly what we need to be doing there. And what might it look like? Prayer and meditation helps us in many ways, such as indecision. Detailed in the big book, we may not be able to determine which course to take. Here we ask God for inspiration, an intuitive thought or decision. We relax and take it easy. We don't struggle. We are often surprised how the right answers come after we've tried this for a while. Oh, has anybody practiced that? And has it worked? Miraculously so. It has for me. This is known as faith, which is also another basic spiritual principle in this step. God has always met our needs, always been there, not our wants, but our needs. And we're constantly reminded that as we have trudged through all these steps, and this isn't a step that we're just beginning because we just came into the program. No, we have done a whole lot of work prior to this step. And there isn't anybody that should think, oh my gosh, I can't do this. I got to walk away. No, God hasn't brought us this far to drop us. We're precious. And He loves attentive people. Faith is based on trust, not on a knowing or a feeling. Our faith is to trust the process, our higher power, and these people in these rooms, because they got what we wanted. That's what attracted us in the first place. If life gets tough, the authors of the big book tell us to ask for guidance. As we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful and ask for the right thought or action. We constantly remind ourselves we're no longer running the show, humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, "Thy will be done." We are then in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. We become much more efficient. We do not tire so easily, for we're not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. It works. It really does. For myself, prayer and meditation are absolutely intermingled. I pray while I meditate, and I meditate while I pray. My practice begins roughly at about the same time every day, with a cup of coffee, the fragrance of incense, and a lighted candle. I curl up cozy and warm with a mindfulness timer, which rings, I have it set for every 10 minutes for 45 minutes. I begin with two spiritual readings, and I journal then a couple of sentences about what my prior day has been, who I've met, pickles that I've encountered, or problems. And in this one journal that I do keep, it's amazing. I've had this book going since 2011, and I'm able then to quickly look back and see where I have been, what I've done, who I've seen, who I was mad at, what problems did I encounter, was I ready to kick my husband out again? Those things that were important then that I look back on and just laugh today. So, and I've stayed with a particular mantra. And it's a personal one. I don't know that I've ever shared this, ever. Oh, you're the... You guys get it tonight. And I've asked God, I've had it for years and years, and I've asked God a number of times, is it time for me to update this? Should I be adding something to it? It's really simple. And it begins with my prayer/meditation time. And I say, I trust you. I love you. And I know you love me. Somewhere deep down inside of me, that pledge is exactly what I've always looked for. I've always looked to be loved and to be able to sincerely love and trust something. And I do that today in the form of my higher power, in the form of who I say help to and please to. And when I keep getting mushy over that particular three sentences, I know that's where I'm supposed to stay as a mantra to begin my process. Then I'm quiet and I surrender. I physically lift my hands and I surrender all the people that I love, little pile of people that I love, and all the people that I know, and anyone that I'm particularly struggling with. There's always one, at least, in that pile. I might be sitting next to him. But people at work that have gotten my goat. And then I offer up all the people that I don't know in the world. All the people in my neighborhood, all the people in my city, in my state, in my country, and I all the world. I give it up. And I surrender all of this. And I surrender any and all of the situations Sometimes, you know, I have particulars to pray for, but I surrender all of that. Then I sit quietly. And if I'm worried or I'm anxious, I acknowledge it. I observe it. I don't try to change it. I just say, oh, there it is. Because I know that will pass. I know that those are little pop-ups of fear that come when I lay myself vulnerable to my higher power. Then, when my last bell rings, I finish with two additional spiritual readings. I thank my higher power, and I ask that His will, not mine, be done today in my thoughts and actions. And then I get up and I go on my day. And if I feel out of balance, if I'm out of whack, my anger gets triggered, I say a quick prayer for acceptance. And I leave it at that. I have ways to process later in the evening. And this is how I maintain my spiritual condition. Constantly depending on my higher power and asking for His will for me. The big book so poignantly reminds us we alcoholics are undisciplined. So we let God discipline us in the simple way we have just outlined. And within that surrender, I get the power to carry out His will. Constantly checking in my gut, what are my motives? Am I being guided by Him? Then I know that God's in charge and not Mary. Humility is the main ingredient for both prayer and meditation, and it plays a vital role in this step. One of our founders, Dr. Bob, has a plaque on his desk which to him described humility. Perpetual quietness of the heart. It is to have no trouble. It is never to be fretted or vexed, irritable or sore, to wonder at nothing that is done to me, to feel nothing done against me. It is to be at rest when nobody praises me, and when I am blamed or despised, it is to have a blessed hope, home inside myself where I can go in and shut the door and pray to my Father in secret, and be at peace as in a deep sea of calmness when all around and about is seeming trouble. Now, isn't that a magnificent prayer of surrender? Wow! It is absolutely miraculous that we can take a life that has been unmanageable for years, and by chipping away day in and day out with this spiritual program, this life gets turned around. This is not a religious program. There are no rituals involved other than the ones that you might choose. But with the practice of this discipline, you will notice that you are accomplishing more things more easily in your life, and your sense of self-worth and self-confidence will grow because we're staying connected more naturally. The step is a vital element in the recovery process because it encourages us to pause and reflect when life is flowing smoothly, which then allows us to better cope when challenges occur and life kicks. Then we have the coping strategies in place, no matter what our emotional weather may be, and we can then adapt to life on life's terms. Because we will have had a solid foundation of prayer and meditation that we will know from nothing, absolutely nothing happens in God's world by mistake. As the 12 and 12 tells us, there is a direct linkage among self-examination, meditation, and prayer. Taken separately, these practices can bring much relief and benefit, but when they are logically related and interwoven, the result is an unshakable foundation for life. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you, Mary. So now we have some time for questions from our audience. So if you're here in the room, go ahead and raise your hand and I'll get you the microphone. And if you're on Zoom, go ahead and speak up when you have the opportunity. So who wants to get us started? You're making eye contact, but your hand's not going up.
Hi, everyone. Gretchen, alcoholic. Mary, wonderful job. Thank you so much. One of the things that I'm challenged with, and I know that a lot of people have also come to me and asked me about, I don't know why, but still, when I hear that word discipline, the hair on the back of my neck raises. And so we all walk different paths in life. And I've always been very envious of those who have the time to commit to set aside time for prayer and meditation. And, you know, I've had people suggest to me, well, get up earlier. Okay, that ain't happening. It hasn't happened in 59 years. Ain't happening now. So I have found what works for me, but what do you suggest or offer to people who, let's say, you know, are working full time, have young children, you know, may also be taking care of elderly parents, I mean, that really have a life that is blessed because of sobriety, but a life that, you know, doesn't have a lot of available free time? How do you suggest to them that they approach prayer and meditation on a daily basis?
Gretchen asked, how do busy people make time for prayer and meditation? It's a practice, and it's one that there's a commitment that has to be made. And, you know, I suggested taking the Serenity Prayer, taking the Prayer of St. Francis. What? Serenity Prayer might take 3 minutes. Prayer of St. Francis, if you look at it, you might get 10 minutes. Is our peace of mind worth that? Are we willing to make the sacrifice? I get up 2 hours before I need to be at work. I get up at 4:30, 4 or 4:30, because my 45 minutes allows me to be that decent human being that I want to be every day. It is an absolute, you know, did I wish that I could do it at night? No. At night, I hit a wall, and that's all there is to it. I get to say, thank you, God, and if I get to write, that's great. But morning, I have to put my time away. And I've heard from busy moms, you know, they get up before they know the kids do. This takes commitment, prayer and meditation. And that's why it's an easy thing to say, oh, well, I'll do it. I'll get to it. I'll try. You know, but to begin, you know, you take whatever time. If you can say, I'm going in this room and I'm shutting the door for 10 minutes, don't kill each other, then you do what you can. Because, again, how important are you to maintaining your program? This is one of the most important elements that we can possibly say yes to as in our process of working the steps.
Thank you.
Shayna, alcoholic.
Hi, Shayna.
And I loved everything you said about prayer and meditation. I just have a question, like, how do you keep your brain from ruining it? When I'm in my sobriety, I become very structured and, like, obsessive compulsive even, some might say. And so when I do, like, prayer meditation, I mean, I start out great. And just, like, exercise, I start out great. And then I become, like, a malicious sergeant that I hate, and then the things that I enjoy and I love about those things become things I hate very quickly. I'm hoping and praying that with guidance and support and then staying in these rooms and doing the steps that that will not happen. But it seems to me, if I look at the past as the best predictor of future, part of the reason I think, like, even that I used drugs and alcohol was because I would get so rigid that I couldn't stand my own expectations and I would just jump. Like, I can't stand any of this anymore. I'm trying to be very moderate and do the balance thing. I don't even have my bracelet on today, which is for balance, so maybe today I'll be off. But typically, I'm trying very hard to be balanced, and I'm doing good at it now. I just get fearful, and I know staying in the moment is key here, and trying to give it to God, and that is what I've been doing, and I really have never done that before, so this is all new to me. I was just wondering, for people who have personalities like mine, is that something that is common that they're afraid of, and like, does it usually get better as they're working the steps or free from that obsessive compulsive demon?
That's it. Thanks, Shana.
You're welcome.
Her question was, can we get free from the compulsion of the have to, you know, of doing anything perfectly? And there is no perfection. There's just the doing. And practice makes perfect on this. You know, there are days that I want to jump up because and you know what? In my history, I used to bring a pad and a paper with me. And if there was something, a list, I would actually write it down and put it to the side. And if I had to add to it, I added to it and I left it be. Because I'm that same way. Type A personality. Oh, gotta get this done. Oh, I'm not doing it right. I'm not staying perfect. You know, there is no perfection. There's no right way. There's no wrong way to do a right thing. And just do it. You know, wasn't that an ad somewhere? Just do it. Yeah, just do it. That's what we have to do with prayer and meditation. It needs to be a practice. And to practice, you got to practice. We don't go out there and begin to skate or ski or ride a bike even. You know, it takes doing it and doing it. And, you know, yes, the mind wanders. That's just part of it. That's our humanity. And as long as we are aware of it, some days I'll say, oh, there it goes again. Oh, there it goes again. I mean, it becomes stupid silly sometimes. But I'm not deviating. And nobody would ever say you have to do this many minutes. You got to do what works for you. For me, I built this up. I used to do 20, I went to 30, now I'm at 45. Why 45? I'm not quite sure, but it works. And it seems to be the amount of time that I get to work my stuff out, that I get to walk through my processes, that I get some absolute time that is quiet. You know, it just works, but you gotta do it. It's just one of these things that, yeah, oh well, I'll get to it sometime. Yeah, well, procrastination is sometimes what gets us into trouble. And it gets us looking for other avenues to fulfill what we should be focusing on. So, commitment, discipline. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No,
I was just going to say discipline. I used to hate that word too. But you know what? I know how unruly I am. And I know I need boundaries. And this is one of those areas that I'm grateful that I say yes to. You know, if I can tell you that five times in the last 2 years, maybe over 2 years, that I have not prayed in a day. Sometimes my times are off. We've traveled. But we go somewhere and we go to a pretty place and we sit and pray for 45 minutes. It is vital. And yes, I know, with the way the world moves so doggone quickly and the commitments that we say yes to and the lives that we've got and the family that we are called to take care of, we have to be a priority. This is giving to us. This nourishes us. And if we don't do this for ourselves, we ain't got it to give it away. Yes, Sandy.
Hi, Mary. You know, I was just talking with a friend tonight, and you know where I get a little bit hung up? And that's the part where it says, praying only for knowledge of your will for us and the power to carry that out. And so, you know, does that mean that we're not to pray any other way? Because I always kind of took it as, you know, I mean, I always add that at the end. But now I'm not so sure that the advice I gave is the correct advice.
Thanks. I think that though that suggestion at the end of step 11 is just a way for us who don't know what to do with this as a focal point. You just have to ask God to take who you are and what you are and leave the rest, you know. But I it's my job in life. I pray for oodles and oodles of people. I have long lists. That's why I always include those I love, those I know, those I struggle with, and all the rest of the humanity. And even animals, I put them in there, birds and animals too. Okay, they're important. And yeah, and you know, I think that the authors, Bill and Bob, just wanted to give us a wee bit of guidance on this, because it is so hard and so challenging and very vague. How do you pray and meditate? You know, that we've been taught by churches how to do it, but meditation, that's a pretty new concept for us here. But I think they just gave us a guide.
Thank you.
You're welcome, honey.
Do we have a quick one here?
I'm going to ask a very long question with a very long answer. Hi, I'm Bridget. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Bridget.
You know, Mary, thank you so very much. And my sponsor talks about this all the time. And just an observation that, you know, I'm busy. Well, you know what? I play around on the internet a lot. And that's something that did not exist when I was growing up. And so that's something that might maybe cut into maybe television time, because I don't watch a lot of television. But when I'm thinking about myself and what I can do, I think what I can do is get in the moment and turn off the devices. And that's what I'm kind of hearing you say, is just it's really between myself and my higher power, and to be quiet, not to have a third party involved. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
It's not really a question. but this is what I'm thinking. And when you say how busy we are, well, hey, you know, we find a lot of time to be on social media. And I'm pointing to myself.
Yeah.
So.
I hear you. Yes, I agree. Absolutely. Yeah. We can all, if we make other things a priority, we need to, if this is important, if we find ourselves needing this, then it has to become our priority.
And thank you for the push to get to do that, for me to do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Bridget. Thank you, Mary.
All right.